So the Ancient of Days is saying, come home. We can lay down our burdens. We can lay down our shame because he wants to remove that burden from us. So we have a unison prayer of confession this morning that I will lead and you will respond. And at the end, I will close that time in prayer. O Christ, Savior, like the seed fallen to the ground, you suffered death. United to you, our lives will bear much fruit. We praise you, Lord. O Christ, you went down to the lowest point of the human condition. You remain close to all who are abandoned. We praise you, Lord. In your love, you took upon yourself our sins. Innocent, you accepted death to free us from death. We praise you, Lord. By your love, you conquered evil and hatred, and you live forever at the Father's side. We praise you, Lord. You listen to us in your goodness, and you visit us in our misfortune. Fill our hearts to overflowing by revealing to us the light of your face. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Almighty and merciful God, as the confirmands will be renouncing their sin in a few minutes, Lord, may each one of us renounce the sin and disobedience in our lives. Help us confess the things that we have done wrong, the actions we have left undone, and the iniquities that we don't remember. God of steadfast love, we bring ourselves completely to you. Do your refining work in us so that you will be glorified and we will bless others. Amen. Friends, in Jesus, our sins are forgiven and we are made whole to love and serve him. Our first scripture reading this morning is Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 17. If you want to look it up on your Bible apps or in your own Bibles or in the Pew Bible, it's on page 27. Once again, Genesis 28, verses 10 to 17. Let us give reverent attention now to the reading of this God's holy and inspired word. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you were lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, at this time, I want to invite our confirmands who are here in person with us in worship to come up forward here with me on one of the top stairs and spread out. So come on and make your way up. And if you are worshiping with us online, which some are doing this morning, I'd invite you to go ahead and stand where you are there in worship with your families. We begin a journey. If you want to spread out on top steps, we begin a journey with 15 students back in September, where we began exploring our faith. And we had a time of a fellowship every Sunday evening where we broke bread together and enjoyed physical food, and then we began to dive into some spiritual food and what it means to be to know Jesus, what it means to be a witness for Him. And these students, having grown up in the church and have studied the Scriptures and have seen that Jesus Christ is who He said He is. He is the Son of Man. And they are ready to stand before you and profess their faith in Jesus. A couple weeks ago, they each wrote out their own profession of faith and what they believed. And they shared that with our session. Excitingly, and as they have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we affirm their faith. And we want to present them to you this morning, and as you have gotten to know them in different ways and over the years and have prayed for them since many were baptized as infants and grew up in this church, and you've encouraged them in their faith, and you've continued to point them to Jesus. And so we thank you for church, for being the family of God, so that all generations can be pouring into their lives. And we're not done yet. You know, as we are confirming their faith this morning, as they are standing on their own and saying, I believe in Jesus, we still as a church have a work to do to continue to disciple them and point them to our Father who loves them so much. Again, not all could be here with us this morning. Some are worshiping online. So I want to point us to a video that we have as we get started this morning.
I believe
that God is good and He created me to love Him.
I believe that we have all sinned and turned away from God.
I believe we all need a Savior so that we can know God.
That Savior is Jesus, God's one and only Son.
Jesus faced all the temptations that we face but never sinned.
He taught us how to love God and each other.
He has given us His perfection.
And He took on our imperfection.
He is my Lord and Savior.
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 He is the way.
He is the truth.
He is the life.
His Holy Spirit gives me the power to believe.
And the power to live for Him.
Jesus is coming back one day.
And all those who call Him Lord and Savior will live forever.
Forever.
Forever! I believe.
And I will follow Him.
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 Amen. Let it be. And so they were asked vows. Remember covenant partner vows when they met with Session? And I'm asking them to reaffirm those vows before you here this morning. And so confirmants, first question, as Scott mentioned, is do you renounce sin and its power in your life? Do you? And who is your Lord and Savior? Say it boldly and loudly as a witness to our church family. Who is your Lord and Savior? All right. And do you trust in Him? And do you intend to be His disciple, to obey His word and show His love? Do you? Two more questions. Will you be a faithful covenant partner of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way? And we've talked about some of the ways that you all can use your time, talents, and treasures to do that. And will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be? Will you? And do you seek to work toward making disciples and helping by God's grace to fulfill the Great Commission? Do you? Church family, they have made their vows. Now it is our turn. I want to invite you to stand, church family, with them. And I want to ask you a question. Will you, the covenant partners of this church, promise with God's help to nurture these new covenant partners in the Christian faith, to pray for them and to serve with them and to welcome them as your brothers and sisters in Christ into this family of faith? If so, please say, we will. And I want to invite all of us now to state what we believe using an ancient creed of the church called the Apostles' Creed. So if you will join me in stating the truths of the gospel, the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please join me in prayer for these students. Lord Jesus, what a marvelous day it is to come into your marvelous light, to witness, Lord, hearts changed, minds renewed, transformation that has taken place. And as they continue to work out their sanctification, Lord, ways that they can love you and serve you with their lives, we ask that they would go. We ask that you would send them into their campuses to be a witness for you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all of us that you send out into our neighborhoods and places where we work, Lord, to be your witnesses, to testify to the truth of Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Lord, you have given us a ministry, whether we are a child or a growing teen or an adult. Lord, you call us to yourself and then you send us out to be salt and light in this world. Father, we pray for some of the grown-ups in our congregation who are head back to South Africa with Caris this week, that you would use them in the ministry there as they are witnesses there to your mercy and your grace and caring for children, Lord. And so we pray for their travel mercies. Father, we pray, Lord, for your continued goodness and faithfulness to be upon these students, these confirmands, every step of the way in their journey. May they be showered knowing how much you love them, and may they find their identity in Jesus and not all the things of this world that are tugging at them and vying for their attention and or the pressures around them to fit into this mold, you know, and to shape their lives by the latest TikTok or whatever's going on, and to find value or worth in something that's constantly changing and fleeing. May they find their worth and value in you, Jesus. And may we as a church family continue to encourage and support them and nurture them in their faith. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, you may be seated. Confirmands, if you want to stand for the children's time with Pastor John, you can, as other children come up. Or if you want to head back, you're more than welcome to do that as well. But let's just give a big thank you to Jesus this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, younger kids, why don't you come on up, join me for the children's sermon if you want. I mean, if older kids want to come too, that's fine, but we like you guys coming up here. I can't wait for the day that you are standing up there doing what those guys just did. But I have a question for you. Have you ever been picked for something or invited to something? Like maybe you got picked for a team, or you got picked to sing, or your artwork got picked to be put up on display. Maybe you got picked for answering a question. Maybe you got picked to present for your class project. Maybe you got invited to a party. Maybe not everybody did, but you got invited. It can feel pretty great to get picked, right? It can, you know, I mean, you know, like if I were to pick you right now and say stand up and you know, recite the U.S. Constitution, you probably wouldn't be excited about that. But what if Jesus were to come right now and say, you know what, I pick you. And I pick you and you and you and you and you and you, 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 all of you. I pick you to be saved and to join me in the mission of saving still others. Would you feel pretty good about that? Yeah. Well, you know what? Today I'm going to be preaching about a guy named Philip and how Jesus went to pick Philip to be saved and to join him in mission. And what I'm going to talk about is Philip is an example of the fact that Jesus will go to great efforts to pick you. And I hope that you'll accept his invitation. Cool? Some of you remember, it's hard to see the smiles with masks, but nod and smile when I say cool. That's the rule, all right? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being the hound of heaven who seeks us and invites us to follow you into salvation and service. Thank you for being one who is revealed as in Scripture and as the Son of God and as the Son of Man. Lord, may we declare it and invite others to come and see it. Lord, thank you that you are the Son of Man and the stairway to heaven. May we, by faith, get on board with that ladder. And may you open heaven for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, kids, why don't you head back to your parents. And parents, if you want, we love having your kids in worship for the whole service, but if kids are second grade or under, you can take them to children's church. What you'll do is you'll go through that door right over there, up to the second floor, and sign them in that way. So, we are in a sermon series, walking through the Gospel of John, titled, Come and See, Jesus in the Gospel of John. That phrase, come and see, was in last week's passage, and it's in this week's passage as well. And really, it gets at what we're trying to do in the series. What we're trying to do is look at each successive passage in John and see, come to that passage, see who Jesus is and what that means for our life. And today, we're going to come to the end of John chapter 1. So open, if you would, in your Bibles, your pew Bibles, your Bible apps to John chapter 1. We're going to go from verses 43 to 51. And in this passage, I think we're going to see three things which call for three responses. First, we're going to see that Jesus is the one who seeks us and invites us. He comes to find us and invites us to follow him. And the response to that is to, in fact, follow him. Secondly, I think we're going to see through some of Jesus' titles in this text a little bit more of who he is. And what we're supposed to do with that is declare him and invite others to come and see it. And finally, we're going to see that Jesus is the stairway to heaven, the Son of Man. And that's something that we believe by faith and thereby get to go to heaven. But with that, let's dig in. John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. Listen for God's holy word to you. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. So in John 1, he's revealed through a variety of titles. The author, who we presume to be John, we never find out for sure who wrote this book. He starts by telling us that Jesus is the Word, and he tells us that he is God, and he tells us that he is light, and that he is life, and that he is the Word made flesh, and that he is the Son. All that is in the first 14 verses, or 18 verses or so. Then you have John the Baptist say that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then you have Andrew saying he's the Messiah or the Christ. And all those titles matter, and we've talked about a lot of them. But Jesus is identified in the Gospel of John not just by his titles and what others say about him. He's identified partly by what he does. It's a show me rather than tell me kind of moment. And that's where I want to start today. And starting right there in verse 43, we see something about who Jesus is, because Jesus is somebody who seeks and invites. Jesus, up to this point, has managed to gather a few disciples. We know that he's gotten, through John the Baptist, he's been basically handed Andrew, and who we presume to be John, and through Andrew's witness, he's picked up Peter, who is also called Simon, and we presume that he's maybe picked up James as well. And the text tells us, though, that the day after having found Simon, that he decides he has to go to Galilee. Now, I need you to stop and realize this for just a second, that all the stuff that's happened before this has taken place on the Jordan River near Jericho, where John the Baptist was doing his ministry. Now they're going to go to Galilee. That's a journey of about 70 miles on foot. Jesus is making a real effort here. And he's making a real effort to intentionally go seek and find Philip, and to specifically invite Philip to follow him. Jesus is doing this intentionally. All the other disciples to this point had come to him through some other means. And this one, Jesus is the one from top to bottom who is looking for and finding Philip. And this is so Jesus. This is so consistent. Jesus himself says, "I came to seek and to save sinners. I go looking for them." Jesus is the good shepherd. He leaves the 99 to go find the one. He wants us. He seeks us, and he will go through effort for us. This is why Jesus is sometimes called the Hound of Heaven. That's based on a poem by Francis Thompson. It's a longer poem. It talks about all the ways that we try to hide from God and run away from God, but how God just comes and looks for us and seeks us and finds us and invites us. And that's what he's doing with Philip here. He's looking for him. He's seeking him. He's finding him. He's pursuing him. And Jesus does the exact same thing for you. Our confirmands can say something about that. They didn't get here today by accident. They got here because Jesus pursued them to bring them to this spot and to invite them to follow him. And what they just boldly declared before you is, yes, we want to follow him. And that is precisely what Philip does too. Philip decides that, yes, I'm going to follow him. And that's what you should do in the midst of this. You should follow Jesus. So Jesus comes in and invites you. He invites you to follow him. But he invites you to follow him, and this is important to notice, not just into salvation, but also into mission. Jesus doesn't pursue you just to save you, though that's amazing, that's good, but in his mercy, he also pursues you to invite you to be part of his mission. ECO, our denomination, has a document called The Essential Tenets, and in it, it has a line that says, you know, that one of our essential tenets is that we believe in election for both salvation and service. We believe that God picks us, that he invites us, not just to be saved, but also to serve. And again, Philip obviously gets this, because what does Philip do right after Jesus picks him? Well, he goes and finds Nathanael. And he goes and finds Nathanael, and he says, let's see if I get the words exactly right. I found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He goes to his friend, and he says, we found this one, and we found this one who, and this is so interesting, because this is what you do after you find Jesus, is he says, we found the one who's in the Scriptures. We found the one who every page of Scripture is about, and I've talked about that in previous sermons in this series, that Jesus is foretold. He's the one that Scripture is all about, and if you want to seek people, and you want to find people, and you want to be part of it, you need the Scriptures as part of that. But it's so fascinating, I've talked about that part before, what's so fascinating is what comes next. He says, you know, here's the one that all the law and the prophets are about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael's not impressed. Like you can just hear the disdain dripping. Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth? It's really interesting that Philip introduces Jesus this way to Nathanael. And actually, it's really fascinating. Some commentators take Philip to task for this. They're like, Philip, you just got it wrong. You shouldn't have done it this way. You should have identified Jesus as from Bethlehem, because that's where he was born. And you should have identified him not as the son of Joseph, but as the son of God. John Calvin's one of those commentators. But other commentators, and this is one of those rare places where I'm going to say Calvin got it wrong. Calvin got it wrong. Why does Philip introduce Jesus as being from Nazareth and the son of Joseph? Probably because that's the way Jesus introduced himself. You know, if you walked up to Jesus and said, who are you? Jesus would probably say, oh, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. That's how Jesus introduced himself. And that should impress us because it speaks to God's amazing humility. Here's the one that the entire Bible is about. And how does he identify himself? How does he want to be identified by others? I'm Jesus of Nazareth. That is why Christianity in Acts 24 was called a Nazarene sect. It's why to this day there is a Nazarene denomination that is part of God's church doing great work both here and around the world. Jesus has this amazing humility who says, I don't mind being identified as coming from Nowheresville. Nazareth was Nowheresville. Like, could anything good come from Nazareth was a fair question in some ways. But could anything good come from being born in a barn? Living as a refugee? Yeah. That's who Jesus is. He's this one who will go low so that we can go high. He goes low, seeking and saving us so he can raise us on high. Now, again, Nathanael, though, is not impressed up front. And Philip does something really smart. He doesn't argue with him. He doesn't argue with him. Instead, he just says, come and see. Which is such a great example to all of us. Don't argue with Jesus on these things. Just invite people to come and see for themselves. And we talked last week about how you can come and see a little bit. And so Nathanael comes and sees. And Jesus shows, again, a little bit who he is. That's something I talked about last week. He identifies Nathanael. He says, oh, here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. No guile, as some translations put it. And that speaks to Jesus being one who identifies us. He tells us who we are. We don't tell who we are. He says who we are. He gets to give us our identity. And then he goes on and says something more. He says, how do I know you? Well, I saw you. I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. And I love the way the series, The Chosen, it does this whole fig tree bit. It's really fun how Jesus calls Nathaniel in the fig tree. But the truth of the matter, and if you haven't seen The Chosen, I highly recommend it. I can walk you through how to access it. It's pretty easy. But the truth of the matter is, we have no idea. We have no idea what happened with the fig tree. What we do know is Jesus referencing the fig tree was enough to immediately convert Nathaniel. And Nathaniel makes this really bold declaration, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." It's so fascinating. In the other Gospels, the first person who identifies Jesus as the Messiah and as the Son of God is Peter. But in John's Gospel, it's different. In John's Gospel, the first one to identify Jesus as the Messiah is Andrew, and the first one to identify him as the Son of God is Nathanael. Jesus is willing to be declared by low people who despise him, at least up front. It's pretty remarkable. Now, to be sure, Nathanael does not have a full-orbed view of Jesus' divinity when he says, "You are the Son of God." I need to explain this a little bit, because the term Son of God in the Old Testament comes up quite a bit. And in the Old Testament, the Son of God, the whole nation of Israel was called the Son of God sometimes. The king could be referred to as the Son of God. A righteous person could be declared to be the Son of God. If you need an example, go read Psalm 2, where you hear that there's this correlation between people who are human and yet are called the Son of God. And that's why it's not a regression for Philip to next say, "You're the King of Israel." Because you would think that he'd be building a stairway up, or like he'd go, "Let's start with the low, Rabbi," and then we'd go King of Israel, and then you're the Son of God. But instead he goes, "Rabbi, Son of God, King of Israel." And that's because in the Old Testament, Son of God and King of Israel are equivalent. They're the same thing. They're pointing to a human being, an exalted human being, a special human being who's in the right relationship with God, but a fully human being. And what we see here is, retrospectively, the Holy Spirit is working here to do something that Nathanael wasn't aware he was doing when he did it. And what Nathanael is doing is he's declaring Jesus' divine nature is also a fully human nature. We're getting back to John 1:14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, and the neighborhood it happened to move into was Nazareth. And that's what reveals that he is also the Son of God, the High King of Heaven. This is something Jesus himself is going to get at in a little bit when he claims the title the Son of Man. I'll unpack that in a moment. But right now, what you need to see is that Philip and Andrew discover who Jesus is, and they declare it. And they invite others to come and see it. And that's what you're invited to do, too. You're invited to declare who Jesus is as both fully human and fully God. And by the way, sometimes people need to hear the humanity before they need to hear the divinity. I mean, you want to declare both, but it's okay to declare his humanity because it relates to us. And when people struggle to believe that and hear it, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to invite them, "Come and see. Come and see." Now, I love verses 50 and 51. In verse 50, Jesus basically, sorry, I'm going to go here. I wasn't going to go here, but I'm going to. Jesus basically says, "Hold my beer." And really, he's like, "Wait, you believe because I said I saw you under the fig tree? You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to see some amazing things." And then Jesus tries to get all of our attention. And he tries to get all of our attention by using this phrase, "Amen and amen." The NIV that I read says, very truly I tell you, but in the Greek, and in a lot of other translations, it's this double amen. The double amen occurs 13 times in the Gospel of John. It only occurs on the lips of Jesus, and Jesus seems to be unique. Nobody else seems to do this amen, amen. Amen just simply means that's true. I agree. Jesus says it up front because he wants to say something important. He wants to get our attention. And what does he say? He says, amen, amen, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You're supposed to pay attention, and the amen, amen is supposed to get your attention. But if that didn't work, these two phrases that are here, heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending, and the title, the Son of Man, are supposed to get your attention. Now, the bit about the angel, heaven being open and the angels of God ascending and descending are supposed to kick you, if you know your Old Testament, right to Genesis chapter 28, the passage that Scott read earlier. And in that passage, you might want to flip this open because there's a real subtle thing that I want you to notice in the midst of this. So get that verse, chapter 28 of Genesis open and be able to flip back and forth. Because what happens here is there's a man named Jacob. He's one of the patriarchs. He's running away from home. He's in the middle of Nowheresville because it just calls it a place. And it's night, and so he needs to go to sleep, and he puts a rock under his head, and he has a dream. And in the dream, he sees a ladder. Actually, a better English translation would be a stairway. A ladder in English is, we think, narrow. This is probably a wide stairway connecting where he's sleeping to heaven. Heaven's open, and he sees a ladder or stairway with the angels ascending and descending. And it just blows Jacob away. He goes, this is the house of God. He calls it Bethel. The house of God. This is where God lives on earth. This is the connection point between heaven and earth. And he comes back there and he sets up an altar and it becomes a very significant place. And this story just inspired all kinds of things. It inspired that great spiritual, I didn't get Shannon to sing it for us today. Which one do you think I'm going to say? We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Right? It also inspired Led Zeppelin. And both that spiritual and Led Zeppelin get it wrong, by the way. They get a key detail absolutely wrong because they have us on the ladder or the stairway. And in the dream, it's the angels who are on the stairway, not us. But Jesus does something even more radical with the story because he sees heaven open and he sees the angels ascending and descending on him. Look closely at verse 51. On the Son of Man. They're not on a ladder. They're not on a stairway. The angels are ascending and descending on him. Jesus is making this huge, bold claim that he is the stairway to heaven. He's the connection point. He's what opens heaven. He is Bethel. He is heaven on earth. He's the way we get to heaven. The cross is the stairway to heaven. And every rung of his identity leads us higher and higher to heaven. It's the way that heaven comes down to us and the way we ascend to heaven. It's all on Jesus. Jesus is Bethel, God's house on earth, dwelling among us. It's really amazing and it's really cool, and it gets even more cool because how does Jesus refer to himself? He refers to himself, and by the way, this is the first time in the book of John that Jesus says anything about himself. Right? He refers to himself as the Son of Man. And this title, Son of Man, comes up 69 times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it occurs another 13 times in the book of John, and it occurs only one other time in the entire New Testament. And the other time it occurs in the New Testament is in the book of Acts, when Stephen is in the process of being martyred. His very last words is, I saw heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Very reminiscent of our text. Jesus is the only one who refers to himself this way. Nobody else calls Jesus the Son of Man. Jesus does. And he's trying to say something really important to us about who he is, that he claims this title. And a little bit like the term the Son of God, the term the Son of Man in the Old Testament has a little bit of a double entendre to it. If you were to look at Psalm chapter 8, you would see that the Son of Man title is just a general title for humanity. It's just humanity, highly exalted humanity, but what is the Son of Man that you consider him? It's just like, wow, humanity, God, you've made us so special, you pay so much attention to us, we're made in your image, but it's still very much human. But then you have that Daniel 7 passage that was part of our call to worship, where the Son of Man is clearly divine. And so what Jesus is doing in calling himself the Son of Man is finding a non-offensive way to declare his incarnate nature. I am both God and man. I'm Bethel. I'm the one who opens heaven. And our job with that is to believe. Because that's how you climb the stairway to heaven. You believe who Jesus is. Now, I think this is pretty amazing. I think what we've seen is Jesus has descended to heaven, from heaven to earth to find you. The hound of heaven is chasing you down even right now as you listen to these words. And he's saying, follow me. Follow me up the stairway to heaven and follow me down the stairway back out into mission. Go out and declare who I am, that I'm the one the Bible's all about, that I'm Jesus of Nazareth, that I'm the Son of God, that I'm the King of Israel, that I'm your Lord and Savior, as our confirmands put it. Declare it, and when people struggle with that, just do what Philip did. Invite them to come and see. Come and see for themselves. And realize that Jesus is the stairway to heaven. He is the Son of Man. He's opened heaven for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for being the God who pursues us, and that you pursue us not just to save us, but to invite us to being your mission. Lord, may we join that mission. May we boldly declare who you are to the world, and may we help them come and see that you are the Son of Man and the Son of God and our stairway to heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.